Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Rachel Chat supporters, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Rachel Wright, coming to you this Saturday. I hope everyone is having an amazing week. Just want to talk a little bit about myself, what I do. I'm a motivational speaker, owner of Rachel Chat, an insurance agent, volunteer, philanthropist, and also a kidney transplant recipient. I'll actually be celebrating my 2-year anniversary of my kidney transplant next month, July 27th. Stay tuned for activities for that day, and stay tuned for some announcements next week of Rachel Chat activities as well. Today, I'm going to talk about school, work, life balance when you're dealing with kidney disease. When I spoke a little bit last week about this, when I was initially diagnosed, I was 16 years of age, going into my senior year of high school, and trying to figure out how that was going to play in my day-to-day activities as a student. I did discuss my school schedule with my mother, of course, with the principal. At that time, I did not need kidney dialysis, so I was still in the early stages of diagnosis, did not need kidney disease, but I did need to see the doctor on a regular basis. So this was a weekly visit that I had to go to the doctor, which required that I leave school early. So I had to make an adjustment to my school schedule. At the time, I was also on the soccer team, which means I had to make an additional change to my soccer schedule, as well as extracurricular activities that I did after school, which was playing the piano. Yes, I did play the piano. I did volunteer during my senior year at House of Ruth, and that still continues to be an organization that is special to me because I volunteered during my high school year. When I graduated from high school, I had intended to go out of state for school. But at that time, I figured there's no way I can go out of state. I've been diagnosed with this debilitating disease, and that's just out of the question. I remember my mother saying, you know, let's go and do our college visits. Let's look at different options that you want to do. So because my mother was supportive in going away to school, I was able to make that leap and go out of state. I attended the University of Wisconsin, where my godmother was the VP of Academic Affairs. So the transition for me was a little easier going from Maryland to Wisconsin, having kidney disease because I had someone on the other end as a resource that could help me plan around classes, that could help me plan around travel because I plan to drive there, not fly there. So that was something extra added that I had to be mindful of. Also, I had to follow up with a local nephrologist there. So what that meant was getting all my medical records, make sure everything was together in that aspect, and also making sure that I had the proper medication for travel and everything was set up to go. So once I arrived there, I did have a nephrologist that followed up with me, and I had regular appointments on a weekly basis. So everything was very smooth from my transition dealing with a medical illness, but also traveling out of state for school. So I really didn't have any bumps as it pertained to the travel to another state. But what I did have is after 2 years, my kidney started to progressively get worse. So I did not have the option that I had initially on to continue there. The plan was to transfer back to Maryland and to complete everything there. So that definitely was an eye-opener because I had completely planned to complete my college life there, and I had not thought about anything other than that. For me, the transition was very early, very easy, but when it got to the 2-year mark, it became increasingly difficult because I found it hard to get to classes. I was showing some of the physical signs of fatigue, having some swelling in my legs. So I started to present more signs that my kidney was not getting better. It was actually on a rapid decline. So once I returned to Maryland, I met with academic advisors, met with my doctor to kind of get a clearer understanding of what the plan would be for the next year. During that time, I decided to take a break from classes and focus on a different area of my life and actually start my work career. I was actually offered a management training program with the Smithsonian Institution, and I started my management career there, and school kind of took a backseat to what I was doing at the time. I will say that for anybody that is suffering with a debilitating disease, in my case, kidney disease, the best thing that you can do for yourself is be smart about your disease. And what I mean by that is you have to be your own advocate. I will say this again. You have to be your own advocate. You need to be informative about what you have. You need to find out what your treatment options are. And one thing I did learn is that you cannot rely on the medical staff. Not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But in the long run, it will help you be better prepared if you are actually informed and you know about what is going on with your body. Anyone can tell you that knows me that I'm very intuitive when it comes to my body, when stuff is going on, when I don't feel at 100%. It may just be, you know, it's just off a little, or it may be something during exercising. Maybe I tweaked something, you know, maybe I moved incorrectly and it's, you know, a muscle spasm. But I always know and I'm always in tune with what my body is doing and what is going on. So that is very important for anybody that is dealing with a debilitating illness. For myself, I had a work checklist that I went through before I even started my job because, you know, not all employers are receptive to hiring someone that has a debilitating illness. Even though they'll say that they're receptive, or you may not get the job for some reason, there always seems to be an underlying concern that perhaps you won't be there, perhaps you're not as committed because you have an illness. I would just say that in my case, that was a rarity throughout my work career. I dealt with employers that were very open and very receptive to talking to me and actually encouraged me to pursue my career and pursue going back to school despite having an illness. When you're dealing with kidney disease or any other disease, the first thing that you think about is, that's it. I'm going to quit my job. I don't know what I need to do, but I've been diagnosed. I need to quit my job. I would say before you do that, you need to explore other options. For me, I knew that was not an option. I knew I would make it work and that I wouldn't be limited to just quitting. What worked in my favor is when I eventually had to go on dialysis, work was something that was a distraction. When I got there to the door, I did not have to think about what was going on with my illness. I didn't have to remember any medications I needed to take or remember fluid intake or remember lab results. So for me, it was a distraction that I needed. I don't know if I could have gotten through the next step of my life without it. I would say, speak to your employer, speak to your doctor, and see if that's the best fit for you. My doctor knew that I was very active in other activities, so he encouraged me to continue working. Also, I would say, speak with your insurance carrier. There are a lot of insurance companies that do cover your treatment for kidney disease as far as doctor's appointments, kidney dialysis, kidney transplant. There are a lot of resources out there cover kidney disease. One that I used in the state of Maryland is the Kidney Disease Program of Maryland, which actually assists all Maryland residents in the support of dialysis in the form of financial support, in the form of support in getting your medication, in assistance in your doctor's appointments. Another organization that I have worked closely with in obtaining services and calling on patients' behalf has been the American Kidney Fund. Most of you know that on my Facebook page, I reached out to everyone that I knew during the Houston tragedy to help support their efforts in helping kidney dialysis patients get to dialysis. When there was no transportation, there was flooding, there was no way for them to get to their appointment. So that's another resource that I use. I would also say any debilitating illness there is, it's a life change. You go from doing your regular everyday tasks. You really don't even second guess or question what's going on every day. Now you've been diagnosed and it's a complete life change. I would say the best thing to do is, if you can, if you're able, is to take some time off to kind of regroup and figure how you're going to tackle this. I know for myself, the employer that I had suggested after seeing that, you know, I was struggling on some days to stay focused and was, you know, very distracted after the prior day of kidney dialysis, and suggested to me, and I actually had reached out to check on Family Medical Leave Act, also Americans with Disabilities Act. Under the Family Medical Leave Act, if you're suffering from a debilitating illness, what it does is protects your job during the duration of the time you may need treatment, so you're not penalized if you have to leave early, or you're not penalized if you have to call in sick and it's in relation to your illness. I know that my support network in college, as I mentioned earlier, was my godmother, also my aunt and my grandmother were only an hour and a half away. So I did have that support system early on when I was in college, and I relied heavily on that to get me through the next stage and also to support me when it came to appointments and different options in that respect. As I said, I did continue to work. And once I made that decision, I discussed with my nephrologist, as I said, based on the lifestyle, the frequency of doctor visits, how often I would need to be away from work. The doctor and I discussed the best goal for myself would be to come in on a weekly basis. So based on that information that the doctor and I had discussed, I actually wrote a letter to my employer. I provided my new work schedule, the doctor's contact information, and just approximately if there was going to be any changes to keep them updated. As I said, kidney disease that I was diagnosed was not reversible. So when I wrote my letter, I had to make it clear that this was not a temporary schedule. This was something ongoing. This was something that was not scheduled to have an end date. So I think that's very important when talking with your employer. In my situation, I had to educate my employer because they were not familiar with kidney disease. They did not know what that meant when I was on dialysis. The only thing that they knew is that I would be away from the job for a period of time. That's all they knew. That's all they had to go by. So in my case, it was just letting them know step by step what happens, how it works, how I feel the next day when I needed to come in. So for me, the transition did not have any bumps. life balance, didn't have any bumps through high school, didn't have any bumps through college or doing my work career. Where I find the most challenging balance that I had, and I talked a little about this in my last show, when I had my kidney transplant and I was also a business owner, prior to that, I knew some things had to change with myself. I was a person that was used to controlling every aspect of my life, having everything scheduled, nothing off track. I was not a spontaneous person. If it was not on my schedule, that's it. I didn't have time to deal with it. If it's something that at me that I had to deal with that was not associated with something on my schedule, that's it. It was like I went into shutdown mode. I went into a panic mode, always seeing the worst. Always felt like it was a 911 emergency. If it was not planned and something happened, it's 911. So how I actually had to change what I was doing after I had my transplant, going forward, I did not see things the same. I knew I needed to release my need to control every second and every aspect of my life. I had to let that go if I was going to progress as a business owner, if I was going to evolve as a better person in my life. So what I did, I gave up control. Instead of trying to control every aspect of my life, I said, that's it. Life is happening for me. Things that are coming my way is not something that's happening to me. Once I realized that, if it's coming to me, it's going to be for me. If it's something that's coming to attack me, I will be okay. In the past, I felt like if something was coming to attack me, I had to put my guard up. I had to be in the defensive mode. And it took away a lot of my energy. I also had to change my outlook. And when I say change my outlook, I mean everything that I was doing. And what I mean by that is I had to change my surrounding. I had to change the people I associated with, the habits that I had that I felt were detrimental to me. When I was younger, I was always a child who was confident, loved myself, believed in myself. That was the foundation that I had. But somewhere along the line with diagnosis, I lost my way a little bit. I couldn't see things as clear as I would like to. I had to actually redefine what my purpose was in life. Where did I want to go? What did I want to do? Was this it? It was not it. I knew that I had more to offer in this world. I had more to offer patients that were dealing with the same thing that I was doing. I found a new passion. And I'll give you a couple of daily tips that I do for life balance that I talk about to other patients. And the first thing I do, which everyone knows, and I always get on a couple of my friends who don't do this because I come from a military family, and this was like the first thing you did in the morning, rise early, like 6, 7 a.m., and the first accomplishment of the day, make your bed. Yes, people, make your bed. I normally do a prayer or meditation to give thanks, and also serves as a form of clearing your mind. When you're at a relaxed state, you're breathing, everything is at a relaxed state. Then the next step I'll normally do is have 2 to 3 daily goals of what I want to accomplish for the day. Not too many, because sometimes when you have a lot of goals you want to accomplish for the day, you can be overwhelmed and you just focus on how much do I have to do, how much do I have to do, and then nothing gets accomplished. So normally 2 to 3 goals that I'm going to accomplish for the day, normally 30 minutes to an hour of exercise. Maybe that's running. Maybe that's playing tennis. Something of that nature to get you moving. And then normally I'll have a breakfast, cereal, fruit, or yogurt, maybe water. Sometimes coffee, not all the time. Trying to cut back on that. But sometimes coffee, then there'll normally be, we'll have a marketing meeting. After the marketing meeting, during that time, I'm either working on projects or I'm going to a speaking engagement. And I have a motivational playlist or, you know, confirmation playlist, whatever you want to call it, that I listen to throughout the day. That keeps me on track to what I'm doing, doesn't let me get distracted to the noise around me, to maybe people texting me random things. So that keeps me focused and on track. And then for something that I'm doing, not daily, but in the middle of the month, normally there's a review of my quarterly goals just to see where I'm at, am I on track? Did this yesterday for third quarter goals just to see how on track I am for that. And that's how I keep it all running. You know, sometimes I'll write it down in a calendar, which is very helpful. I won't rely on the calendar. But sometimes if I need to go back to the calendar and say, oh, okay, this day I said I would do this, you know, if that's something I accomplished, thank you to Rhonda Newman at Aflac for getting me that calendar that I love, love, love. Every place I go, people ask me, where did you get that calendar? So that keeps me on track and just a daily affirmation that I'm headed in the right direction. I would say if I would not have changed my outlook on what I was doing, I feel like I was just not in a good place. And what I say by that is I felt like I was fighting against myself. I felt like everything was just coming at me, and I didn't have a positive outlook on where I'm going. It's as simple as that. And I think if you want to make a change in your life, you want to do something different. Maybe you've been at a job for a long time. You want to do something else, but you don't know how to get there. Sometimes you just have to start step by step, a little bit at a time, until you feel more comfortable in doing that. And what I would say is don't ever give up your dream. I never did. I always saw something better for myself. I never saw myself standing still and in the same place. And I always knew that I would get through it. So I hope those tips to life balance can help some other people. If you want to contact me and talk a little bit more about life balance tips, how maybe we can help get you on track, you can always contact me at www.rachelchats.com. Also follow me on Twitter at Rachel Chats, Instagram at Rachel W. Chats, or pick up the phone, give me a call, 301-693-7792, and we'll talk about that. Just want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. Also, a special congratulations on graduating to Austin and Griffin Rossi in Illinois. They're going to be doing big things. Remember those two names, twins. Remember those names. And, of course, I want to thank Candace George with Entrepreneurs in Power for giving me the opportunity to host my own show every week. And, again, have a great week and be right.